Welcome to Joy Tactics, the podcast dedicated to all things joyful, joyous, and meeting as many celebrities as humanly possible. Hosted by Eric Rahill, Nate Varoni, and Jack Bensinger. Enjoy.
Tops, man. Just between us. It's not appropriate. It's really getting out ever. It would be really bad for me if this fucking got out.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
Yeah, stay.
Be quiet.
Keep it on the low. Keep this next thing on the hush. It's a secret.
Hey guys, the secret episode.
That is gonna blow people's fucking.
Yeah,
that is gonna kill somebody, right?
That's
there,
gonna. Someone's first episode, no question, and they just hit us off.
I swear to God, I'm so sorry because I know somebody turned up their volume all the way. I'm so sorry.
Well, that's fun. Hopefully, that's the first secret about this episode. Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Post.
So today we're discussing the issue of secrets. Why do we need to have them? What's the function? Because not everyone can handle it. You can't handle the truth. Remember that one from Tropic Thunder? Or Tropic Thunder, right?
Right.
What is that?
Well, I'd like to take everybody back to a wonderful movie starring Mr. Ricky Gervais called The Invention of Lying. Now, this movie, this man, I forget the plot, but essentially he ends up in the dimension of reality to where no one has invented lying yet. So he's like, damn, I have a superpower where I can just lie to people and get away with it because they don't understand that you could say something not untrue.
Right.
And they don't even know what secrets are, really. What a hole.
And I can tell you
and
why.
And you'd think that would be a utopia, right? Turns out it's a hellhole. And lying is a core part of human nature. And that's how
Ricky
Gervais
is not afraid to take you into deep and horrifying waters and show you some of the most fucked up shit in the world, bitch.
Damn. I hope he opens
you're
a theme park.
A biography for Ricky Gervais.
I'm right. This one's authorized. The Dax Shepard one is unauthorized biography. This one is very authorized. I'm in close contact. I'm paying him to do it, but I appreciate it. He's going to give me a stake in Gervais World when that opens up at the Gervais
the
theme park.
The Gervais theme park.
Gervais flags. It's going to be Gervais some of the scariest flags. Rides in the world. Rides that don't move around much, but they make you question your reality and make you question authority as well.
Right. Every ride is also him killing a different deity.
Right.
Saying this couldn't exist. You're so stupid.
Hinduism, so you dumb. Fools.
If Ricky God Gervais, exists, come
why
on
are there
this
criminals?
Fucking shit.
And how would God make criminals?
Massage that neck of that big neck of his.
Oh, yeah.
Extra lotion, so extra shea butter.
The invention of lying. You know why he lies?
Why, man?
Because his busted old mom is dying in the hospital bed. And he says, Mama, when we die, I swear we're going to be together again. Because he's too afraid to admit the truth, which all of us atheists know for a fact, that there's nothing after this shit, dude.
That's it. Lights out. Hope you had fun. That's it. That's all you get.
Welcome to oblivion.
You paid for one ticket. The end of the ride is over. Death has come.
And what did you do? You wasted it on hand and knee, kissing the toes of some fake god that doesn't even exist, when you could have been out there smoking cigarettes on the bluff.
Right.
Essing and effing. Crying.
And how long did you wait in line for this fucking experience, dude? You waited 4 billion years to get one little. This is the life that you waited for? You fool. So yeah, make sure you're not that guy when you fucking die. Or
they should make a movie called The Invention of Nothing. You know what I'm talking about?
It's Nate sexual. In the lab figuring out how to jerk it for the first time, writing calculations.
Yeah.
Crazy beakers exploding.
Well,
Nate, you've been suspiciously quiet.
Because I'm thinking about a very powerful topic. Okay.
What is it?
Secrets.
And that is secrets. But I was thinking about a secret is almost tied to your perspective. Now, why did I think that? Because we were bringing up gods and deities, okay?
I don't fucking know. Oh, okay.
Does God have secrets? God, a secret can't even, you can't even hold a secret from God. Okay, so God knows all of your secrets, right?
Right.
But does God have secrets?
He definitely, yes, most definitely does, because if God told you the truth of everything, if the real nature of reality was revealed to you by God himself or herself, as I like to think, you would be blinded to death and you wouldn't be able to understand it. So yeah, he has to hold some of, or she has to hold some of those things close to the chest, secret style, for your benefit.
If you
were, it's called the most benevolent white lie that ever existed, the lie of reality. That's a secret.
That is a beautiful, beautiful one. I love that secret, but it's not a secret. Cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag, bitch.
If you were at, you know, a diner off the highway on a road trip somewhere in Pennsylvania with G-O-D eating some hush puppies, he could, or she could, say some things at that diner to you in 1 second that would make you basically flip out and start tripping crazy. Mm-hmm. The power of sentences.
Imagine tripping mentally from just a secret, hearing a secret.
Getting high. That's probably what this podcast is like incredible doses of sentences.
But if I told you guys I've been running a black ops program for my house, drone style, making millions of dollars on the mercenary market, and I told you guys that over some french fries and ketchup, you guys would start to trip.
I would literally start, just partying and putting music on.
One time, man. Speaking of diners in Pennsylvania, we were driving to Chicago and we pulled off to get some diner food. And one of the diners in town, the only diner in this goddamn town, was called Puke Diner.
No, man.
I'm not kidding you, dude. I'm not kidding your ass.
P-U-K-E, Puke.
And they had a fridge, and we parked and we were going to go in, but then we just thought, nah, because they had a fridge in there. You know, they have those, what they call fridges, where they keep cold beverages.
Refrigerators. Right.
Yeah, what they call refrigerators. And out of those, they were selling Mad Dog 2020.
The hot sauce.
At the diner. Can you imagine getting some MD 2020? Or maybe it's just called Mad Dog 20.
I don't know.
Remember that shit?
Fortified. That's a good day for some people. Oh, of course.
Oh, my God.
Eating some on the road trip, scrambled eggs, some hash browns, up.
And some Mad Dog.
Get a couple of them Mad Dog 2020.
Get the great Mad Dog 2020.
Hit the late night fucking, what is that called? Welding. Late shift. You know what I'm saying? Drunk as fuck.
Your eyes are just burnt out of your fucking skull.
Making amazing. Forget to put the visor on. Salary.
Listening to Joy Tactics on the Skull Candies.
$110,000 a year. More money than any of us could ever imagine. Skull Candies.
The Rastafarian colored Skull Candies. I had those, and I would wear them when I went snowboarding.
No. Oh, and I would
fall so many times.
So what's funny
with the iPod Mini. Yeah. That's a secret. I never told you guys. So is that a secret? Because I held that. One, two, three. Eric's back in.
You stopped recording.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hell no.
We're using the Zoom recording. That's what I just learned. Eric's back in just like that.
Okay.
And so what's funny is, does God have secrets? I'll tell you what. This is an interesting discussion. Because can a secret exist in the woods if somebody says a secret to themselves to a tree in the woods? Is it a secret anymore? See where I'm going with this?
Of course, because I see where you're going with this.
If God knows everything, then everything you don't know is a secret of God, but that brings it back, right, interestingly, in a sense, back to the conversation which we are just discussing of what qualifies something to be a secret. Is it the person who hears it? Do they have to get their mind blown from the back enough to see it as a secret? Or can it just be anything? Yo, Eric, I had a LaCroix today.
Oh, did you?
Is that just new information? That's a new information. A secret needs to be something that can
that can damage someone
life.
Or benefit them.
Yes,
I see.
Exactly.
That's it. So I have a secret birthday cake for you. Yeah.
And this is what I want to say is sometimes secrets you withhold information because you want to protect the other person.
That's right.
You don't want them knowing this information. Even though you want to be truthful, they should know this information. They should know all this stuff that, you know, that would ruin their life. But you don't want to tell them because you don't have the heart.
And well, that's what people
don't want to see them spiral out of control.
That's what Democrats don't understand about Joe Biden. Oh, he's so quiet at his speeches. He's not giving us information. He's not, why is he not saying anything? Whenever Joe Biden stammers and stutters, just know that the sentence that went through his head that he almost just said would cause another global meltdown financially worse. That would make the freaking,
right,
what happened in the 30s, that would make the Great Depression look like the Great British Bake Off, okay? Because the depression that would hit the United States after Joe Biden said the secrets that he knows and the reasons, the things that he's doing to protect us.
He's constantly on the verge of holding back the truth about why aliens come to invade us.
The reality is...
The white aliens.
You guys haven't seen the second term Biden... When he doesn't have, he has no fucks to give. You know he's playing
Republicans
by the rules
beware.
Right now, right?
You're in for a scare. That's
second
right.
term, Biden.
Oh, when Joe Biden's in the lame duck era of his presidency.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just chilling.
Just you wait.
He's about to grow out some crazy goatee diet fucking blonde.
He's probably been dead for 100 years.
Some like fucking fishing weights.
Get a piercing in his eyebrow.
Oh shit.
And it's gonna be all infected, and he's gonna just deny any sort of like hospital treatment or anything on that, any sort of
spitting teeth out,
sterilization.
He announces he's bisexual, and has been for a minute.
And he has the cure, and he swallowed it. They invented the pill for bisexuality curing, and he swallowed it. But he put it not he breathed it in rather, so he can't. Basically, he got rid of it.
It's rattling around in his lungs.
Yeah, it's shaking his lungs never to be. You have to kill him to get the cure.
And him and Pete hook up.
Him and Pete Davidson?
No, a different
Holmes.
Pete.
Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes, man, yeah.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, like the White House Correspondents' Dinner. If you're a White House correspondent, shut the fuck up. I'm tired of your asses up there in the pit. Just stop. Either get your act together or just stop, because you're disrespecting the president. You're disrespecting the whole country with your fake little questions. We see how you behave, dude. It's not chill. It's not right. Get your act together. And please go on the Google, the Joy Tactics Google Doc.
You remember this moment at the White House Correspondents' Dinner when a reality show host was sitting in the audience and just enjoying himself.
Who,
and
Trump?
What happened? Yes.
Yeah,
Eric,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Trump was sitting in the audience. And who decided to try to poke fun at him was Barack motherfucking Obama.
Oh, you fool.
And Obama, really?
He was talking shit. They thought that they were roasting each other. It was all in good fun. Nope.
I think Obama secretly sucks.
What did you just
Why would
say,
you say
man?
That? Why would you say that, bitch? Why? Take it back now, or you're off. Or you're off, dude. Why?
I don't want to have to hide my politics from you guys anymore. I'm more progressive than you could imagine. I roast every president, no matter what they look like.
Holy shit.
Yes.
That's incredible, impressive,
something
and
tells
sexy
me
as well.
My nose is whistling right now. That's another secret you probably can't hear on your end, but the audience knows this as well. So this is a secret that we're keeping together.
You guys are both falling apart before my eyes, and it breaks my heart. Not me, though.
By the way, I am sick right now, everybody. I know that everybody
and you're
is
keeping
wondering.
That from the audience.
And you wanted
why.
Sympathy.
I want sympathy. I want people to feel bad for me.
I got a picture of you just out of the shower when you were sick.
Was that chaotic? That was pretty chaotic, that when you came over. I was trying to protect you. Eric comes in. Eric has such a... He does not give a shit about his health, his well-being. I was like, dude, get out of here. I'm fucking sick right now. Don't come into the apartment.
I was sniffing in the apartment.
You want to get sick. You want to build up your immune system.
Of course.
Like crazy.
Of course. Speaking of sick, I feel sick right now because I just had this fucking decadent lunch. Good God. Didn't tell you guys that. Another secret I kept from you guys.
What was the lunch, man?
Well, ever since I got back from LA, I've been eating clean with it. protein shakes, salmon, vegetables, water, LaCroix. Then what do? This morning I have an amazing morning, Manhattan style, cappuccino, whole milk for breakfast, essentially. Then what's for fucking lunch? I almost don't want to tell you guys.
Please.
Was it kava? Don't say kava. I'll freak the fuck out right now.
We split an egg salad sandwich and a tuna salad sandwich.
Are you fucking serious?
And then I had some chips, and then I had
two bites of cake. Fucking it couldn't have been on rye bread.
Nah, it's ciabatta, bitch.
Ciabatta!
Ciabatta. Remember when that shit came out in 2005 and we were fucking, everybody was floored across the country?
Oh my God. When someone puts a cheddar tomato basil sun-dried tomato ciabatta in front of me.
Let me lick that shit now.
Let me put a ring on it. Can you put a ring on bread?
It's like bread is kind of like, you know how there's like mezcal was like fucking popping natural wine? It's the same thing with the natural wines over.
It's baijiu.
It's bread.
Baijiu and lager, beer, Chinese lagers are the next fucking thing. Mark my words.
Yep.
Better start opening those cute shops that sell that now.
The alcohol analytics predictions.
I didn't even have to go to school for that. That's just a natural inclination.
Well, school is a lie. If you have to go to school, you're far, far behind. That's for sure. If you're taking a class, you're missing out. You're missing the point. That's why I didn't go to school. Hello, guys. It's good to see you again.
Jack, it looks like you're reporting the emphysema chronicles right now. Like you're hooked up to a machine and having to...
Joke's on you, bitch. I don't know what emphysema is.
Oh, well, you will soon enough. Soon enough.
No, I won't. I don't listen to doctors. I don't listen to doctors. I never tell doctors the same name twice. I don't go to the same doctor twice. That's my style.
Hey, we got to get you a full body scan.
So, secrets. Back to the back topic, to secrets. Guys.
Oh, yeah.
Back to secrets.
Do you think there's any chance that the United States is the last country that exists, and outside of these walls is nothing but pure demonic alienic hell, and Joe Biden is keeping us at a bay secret. Not at bay, but at protection?
Well, I'll just tell you guys this. I've been to Europe three times in my life, coming on four next time I go. And let's just say you think America's perfect, right? You think we have the best foods and the hottest models and the best sounding accents. Well, guess what? Europe's got us fucking beat. Europe beat us silly with its culture. We're lucky to have a culture. We kind of got all our culture from Europe. Zing! And then all the other countries, of course, that came in. It's America's a melting pot. But Europe is heavenly. Europe is amazing. And if you talk shit on Europe for 1 second, Jack, if you say that Europe is full of angels and, of aliens and demons, then you are messed with the wrong one today.
I'm not going to say that, dude. I'm not going to say that. Of course I'm not. However, I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and open your mind to what is possible when I tell you this. Imagine you get up in the sky.
Oh.
You put your Bose soundproof headphones on. You put on your anti-anxiety playlist on the Calm app.
Tame Impala.
And you watch whatever. Zone of Interest again for the fifth time. Take notes.
Yeah.
Then you're flying in circles. 6 hours away, right? But you're flying in circles. You land back at JFK. But it doesn't look like JFK because Biden has done the full flip. Do you ever notice when you're in Europe that people look strangely familiar? You ever buy bread off somebody? Buongiorno, prego. You go, what the fuck? That looks like Devin Walker from SNL. You ever see somebody else? What the fuck? Buongiorno, what's French? La toilette. La toilette.
Oh, that looks like Mikey Day from SNL.
Mikey Day from SNL. Do you ever think that what I'm saying is that this is the scheme that they're putting on, almost Truman Show-esque, to protect you from, I'm not saying European devils and aliens, but this is the type of theater that could be going on, the type of secrets that could be being held from you right now, man.
I can feel my heartbeat right now. It's not because I'm scared. It's because I think I have blood pressure, which is a secret that my body's keeping from me.
And that doesn't have to do with fear. High blood pressure has to do with passion.
So, okay. Yeah, I don't know what I would fucking do if I found that out to be true, that all of Europe is a Truman-style show.
By SNL cast member.
Can't even begin to imagine.
All of Europe is just SNL, current SNL cast member.
I could current easily see that.
Please.
Yeah. Well, specifically the them dead ones, too. You know somebody from SNL has died already, at least
no.
one.
No, have they?
See that?
Oh, many have.
The Chris Farley... They're making a Chris Farley movie.
Who's going to play his ass?
Paul, I think this guy follows you.
Paul Walter Hauser?
Yes.
He's playing Chris Farley?
Yep.
Sheesh.
Well, how's he going to do that? Accent, time for the dialect coach. Come
time
on.
Time for the Milwaukee fucking trip with Paul. Did you guys see that SNL 1975 is coming out?
Yes.
And you guys know that I auditioned to play John Belushi, right?
I remember that, dude.
Yes, we do.
Man.
Well, you couldn't do it. You got the part, but you couldn't do it because
I had to turn it down for financial reasons.
Who beat you? You have a dartboard behind you with like
I care so little about. All I want to do is write my books. So and acting is such a side thing that I don't even look up who got these things. I just wish them well. Thank God someone got it. I didn't.
But the
need
books
it.
Aren't doing anything. They're not doing
for
anything
now.
For you. They're
for
not
now.
Making any money. They're
it's
not.
A Van Gogh situation. Why don't you stay alive long enough to see it really pop in about 200 years?
And there's gonna
be
like
a whole museum.
So you're saying in like 200 years, people are going to be interested in a Dax Shepard biography that's not...
Well, yeah, it's a magical realism, Dax Shepard unauthorized memoir. So.
Oh my God. How could there be such a phrase as magical realism when reality is so magical as it is? That's how I genuinely feel, man. My feelings are just as so. They are as so.
I'll tell you what, I'm reading a crazy-ass book right now.
How do you have so much time?
Ever since I started locking away the phone. It's just.
What's this one? Is it about dragons eating each other's pussies?
If you play that game with me anymore, like I'm not telling you shit. Okay.
That's what the books are about. Every single book you read is about fucking pornography.
About dragons going down on each other.
And that's cool. It's fine. It's not my thing.
No, this one I literally just forgot the name, but it's about first contact with aliens.
Okay. Holy shit.
Yeah. And the aliens.
I got a new book.
What is it, Nate?
It's the book that like the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie is based on. And I want people to pray for me.
Nuclear War Scenario?
It's by Thomas Pynchon. Thomas Pynchon.
Oh, Mr. Pynchon.
And I think he kind of like kind of famously writes really things that are hard to read. And I was like, why did I fucking get this book? You know
what my advice is for people like us who try to read these books?
What's that?
I have some advice, and maybe this is relevant for all three of us. None of us are really smart like that. You know what I'm saying? We're not really like Jack. We were talking about this after hearing some real film nerds talk about film. To the point to where what the way that they're talking about film makes me not enjoy it at all. You know what I mean? I want to enjoy books.
Because they know
I want to enjoy
soup.
Movies and music. I want to just talk
they
about how it made me feel.
Soup.
Huh?
Right. You know what's funny? Because knowing what's in the soup isn't what ruins the soup, right? It's actually knowing every single soup that's ever existed.
Yeah, right. You don't need to know about an Italian soup from 1972 to enjoy this fucking 2024 soup. You know what I'm saying? But what my advice, Nate, is just read the words and let them fall over you and feel what you feel. Unless you feel like that paragraph's really, unless there's a plot that's important and you need to be like, oh, I need. But just let the words wash over you. And eventually, guess what? These more complex books, your brain kind of gets accustomed to reading it. You know what I mean? You're training your brain book by book to understand someone else's expression of consciousness. You know what I'm saying? And so then about 150 pages in, you're like so plugged in with how they're writing. You don't have to understand every single thing. You need to understand how that shit makes you feel.
I feel like this book for you was like a Lemony Snicket.
Like. Yeah. It's the reptile like room.
The eighth
book
grade
number
level,
two.
Moved on up to ninth grade reading level.
Yeah. Damn.
I do feel... I do feel silly when I'm on Duolingo trying to learn Spanish and trying to learn Russian, and I'm like, and I have a joke about learning Duolingo English. I know I joke about that a lot, but I do think that there is still a lot of headway to be made in being fluent in English. And I do feel like, why the fuck am I learning, trying to learn these other languages?
Wait, what are you saying? You're taking Duolingo for English right now?
No, this is a joke has in his stand-up set. I messes up a word on accident.
I play about that. It's a joke that I keep in my back pocket. Oh. I call it a back pocket joke. Because I can count on the fact that I'm going to mess something up. But guess what, dude? I think there's truth in that. There's truth behind every lie, behind every whatever.
And there's truth in comedy.
I wasn't going to say that. I don't want to put that information out there. If you don't know what that book is yet, just go ahead and cancel your plans for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Go read that one. I read that book when I was about 17. Do you guys know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
I did too. I read it in high school.
I was like, this is going to be my life.
That's crazy. I basically got tricked into moving to Chicago.
That's a book about improv, if you're wondering.
Written by legendary Chicago.
Del Close
and Sharna Halpern.
Yep. Wow. One of them's dead. One of them's short.
Close is dead. Sharna Halpern is.
I'll tell you a Sharna Halpern story. I basically got forced against my will to make a musical sketch comedy review.
This is a secret that I didn't know you were going to tell the whole world, but here we go.
I don't think there's any reason not to be fair. I won't tell as very much about it, but this was the owner of IO Comedy Theater or whatever. This is the last thing she directed, I believe. It is the most busted musical sketch comedy review in the world, which I was situationally pressured into writing and performing in. Because I thought this for sure would get all of us on SNL. It's a layup.
Right.
In reality, we cast people from like fucking backpages.com who had no involvement in the comedy scene. And I was out to lunch. It sucked. About 4 people came to the show. And I remember every like writing meeting where we would go to Sharna's office. She has all these poor dogs who are like, every single one of them has like, is basically begging to die. They all have like cancer more than you could ever believe. And they're like surgeries, scars all over them. It's really sad, but they're like smashing their heads into their desk, like really violently as if they're like trying to knock themselves out. That's kind of the detail that I really wanted to get at was the dogs. The dogs that want to go.
Right. Those dogs would, like, get on stage, too. Like, you'd be, like, doing a show, and they would, like, just fucking, like, just
be chilling.
Like.
Wait, I have an IO story that I feel like I should tell that I think is funny. This is a secret that I've held for far too long to keep it on topic.
Oh, my God.
Is it about Sharna?
No. No, it's not. It's about.
Is it the
YouTube she organized video? This. It's like they used to have those SNL auditions that we would all do. I think all of us have done those at IO. Like 8 years ago at this point.
Preliminary, like.
The prelims, yeah.
Yeah. Like they would have, like, every year in Chicago, they have, like, the kind of, like, the minor league. Like, it's like you're not doing SNL, but it's kind of like she gets to kind of see who's out there in Chicago.
Who she wants to, like, put in front of
the people. And, like, hundreds of people do it. And then she'll pick, like, maybe, like, 10 people from there to like
go do the real
actual,
showcase
to do like the next step and then the next step
right
but like
but
basically
I remember telling my parents like I'm auditioning for SNL like it's happening like you know
yeah
but mine one of the ones that I did was all it was like I was probably 23 maybe 23 or 24 had only been doing improv. I hadn't really done any like solo stuff yet, really. Maybe a little tiny bit, but you have to do characters, you know. So I was so fucking nervous, and there was like 40 guys on this list. I was number like 36, right towards the end. And so I'm so nervous, and it's like a 2-hour long thing. So I'm there watching the first guys go in the back, and out of the corner of my eye, I can't fucking believe what I'm seeing. But Jason Sudeikis is there, and so is Pete Holmes, watching this shit. Have I told you guys
not
this?
Pete Holmes. No.
And literally, I like
Oh yeah, you have.
I like really was like, what the fuck is happening? I can't believe my life right now. Like, it made me so much more nervous to the point where I was like, I can't tell the other guys. It's gonna like throw everybody off. Our heroes are here. And I walked and I walked to the back to the green room, whatever, and I'm like acting weird. And finally one of our friends is like, dude, are you nervous? I was like, yeah, I'm all nervous, like literally Pioms and Jason Sudeikis are watching there in the back. And but it freaked out one of my friends, and then he started telling everybody else. So in a matter of seconds, like only a few people have gone. And so then like 20 guys, 25 guys were like so nervous because they were going to go, you know, audition in front of some like known celebrity comedians. And then I'm like, what the fuck? I go back out there and watch. And I look at the same table that had who I thought was Jason Sudeikis and Pete Holmes at it. And it's just completely different guys. No. And that doesn't even barely look at them, but my mind had
that
tricked me.
That is so funny.
And then, frankly, like that relaxed me so much, you know, knowing that it wasn't them, that I feel like I bodied my set. But so many of the other guys.
There's like, a very good lesson in this.
What?
This
play
is
dirty.
Amazing lesson.
Psychological warfare.
Play dirty. If you have a if you are in a scenario like this where you're doing an improv show and or any other scenario, maybe a swim meet, go ahead and say, dude, I just saw Ryan Lochte and Michael Phelps out there smoking a bubbler in the motherfucking bed in the motherfucking bleachers. Oh my god, I'm so nervous, aren't you?
Wow.
Joy tactics. That's amazing.
Joy tactics.
And
genius.
And one time I did the IO SNL showcase, I said, instead of Jack Bensinger, I did my set back facing away from the audience. I said my name was Back Bensinger.
Did you crush?
I can't imagine there was even enough people in the room for it to have crushed. But that was at a point when I had kind of resigned to the fact that that was not going to be my future.
And I did
just
one
wanted to have some fun.
I did a bit that you participated in, Eric, where I just like, it was just like a pure like fuck you to just everyone. But I was like, okay, so I'm going to put hot dogs in my butt cheeks and I'm going to like try to carry them over and put them in this bucket of water.
For your SNL? That was SNL.
Yeah, yeah, for Sharna. And I would just put hot dogs and clench my butt cheeks with the hot dogs and hold them and try to walk over to the next side of the stage and drop.
Was
the
it
hot
crushing?
Dogs into a
was
bucket
it absolutely crushing?
And actually, people were having a great fucking time because everyone's doing their you know, fucking Ryan Seacrest impressions. And then here comes butt crack, hot dog, bucket of water guy. It's a good mix-up, you know.
That's important.
You've done a beautiful thing there. You have really martyred yourself for, you know, the Luke Knowles of the world or whoever who did end up getting it. Who needed that levity in the room.
Right, right, exactly.
So you are responsible, you know, for a lot of the generational talent going and
pretty much
making them feel right.
That's fucking right with it.
I'm hungry.
Wow.
Right now.
So you guys have never lied?
Never.
No.
Me neither.
Not yet. I have.
Yeah, me neither.
I have an idea of it.
Yeah.
Well,
I've thought about
Eric.
It.
Eric.
I just hold one of my values. I feel like, I feel like we could dip into this, but personal values are important and you need to stick to them, you know?
To you.
Right.
And
for you.
What?
Maybe Eric, for you, that's how you feel. I guess so. So defensive.
You hate
having values. Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of my personal values is truth and being a beacon of truth and always speaking truth to power. And that's the opposite of lying. That's the opposite of secrets. So I don't hold secrets because I value truth and I stick to my values.
What if you had to tell a lie to save a million lives? Would you do that or would you kill them all?
Well, Eric, what if the lie was that you were going to save them?
Oh.
You see where I'm saying with that?
Wow.
You see what I'm actually
really
meaning?
Do.
What is that? What does that mean? Because there's 2 million people. Okay, 1 million people are standing in front of a gun that's more powerful than a fucking atomic bomb. Another people are standing in front of a giant laser with the power to destroy the Earth. Okay, and in order to, they both can die, or you can save one of the 1 million by telling the other 1 million that you're saving them.
Wow. Remedial philosophy. This,
no, dude, no, it's not remedial at all. There's nothing remedial about me, and I would know. Okay.
Remedial is such a mean word. Remedial, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't find it to be mean, you're dude. When I was well, remedial. Let me guess, Eric.
What?
You never took a remedial class, did
I did
you?
Take remedial math. I can't wrap my head around that shit. Or I couldn't at the time until I figured it out for myself. And now I know numbers better than you can imagine.
You know, it is funny. I think that Harvard is making a big mistake. Big mistake.
With what?
Here's why.
Why?
And so is MIT. Here's why. Because they are looking for applicants in the future Tesla and Microsoft inventors so that they can... What's the point of Harvard, right? To pump people out who are going to donate back to the system. Of course. Now, in order to capture the Steve Jobs, what did they all do? They didn't go to college. They were in special needs classes. So what they'd ought to do, instead of looking at those GPAs, is go into the remedial classes, into the special ed classes, and say, who here is developing an invention or an app or this or that? That's who should get into Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Suppose I never thought about it like that. Wow.
Well, you can't get outside of the box from the inside of it. Or you can't. You see what I'm saying? I guess you could if you opened it, but it's more a metaphor than anything.
Would you guys, if you just got accepted into Harvard tomorrow, would you go?
I would go right fucking now. I put the
undergraduate
drawing my hair where it's receded over here.
Why
did
you do that?
Huh? Because I'm going to the dorms. I'm going to become an 18-year-old at the dorms.
Is it covered or is it a full ride or is it?
Full ride, dude.
Full ride.
Full housing ass cover. Ride.
Wow. Yeah,
I'm going to Harvard. I'm joining their comedy troupe.
The Red Medallions. Whatever.
The what?
I don't know.
The Harvard Lampoon.
Oh, yeah.
Joining that, then I'm going to become an intern at 30 Rock. Then I'm going to start fucking working at Seth Meyers.
The whole building?
Seth Meyers. Huh?
You're 46 at this point.
Yeah, 46.
Fully bald.
Page.
I did.
Yeah.
I told you guys about our 30-year-old roommate that we had when I was 19 named Jake Walk.
No, I don't think so.
Jake Walk, like cakewalk?
Jay. His name is Jay. And I guess I just said his whole fucking name, so please don't look him up. But he was really sweet. He lived with me and Jess when I was a sophomore in college, and he was kind of, thinking back on it, he may have been on the spectrum, but we were just like, man, this guy's, we thought he was odd because he was 30. We were like, man, 30-year-olds are like so different. But he was like obsessed with... You know, thinking back on it, so much of it is clear to me now because he was obsessed with the Jeep brand. He wore like exclusively Jeep brand clothing and jackets and shirts. But
how'd
he kind of did what we're talking about. He was hella nice, Jay.
Did you find him through Craigslist or?
No, he just showed up. I mean, the school put him in our room.
The school put him in our room.
Like we had a little like two-room dormitory room.
Isn't that weird how rooms. Like you, when you're like 18, 19, you're like somebody in their 30s seems like
ancient.
You couldn't even imagine like, oh, I can't even possibly picture being in my 30s. Like that
it's like
is
pathetic nice. To think about them.
And guess what? You know how people older, they say, wow, time goes by so fast. It feels like yesterday I was 16. Yep. As a person into their 30s right now, I can say that this is 100% true. It feels like yesterday I was 22. Time is going by fast.
Best days of my life when I was 22. Psych.
Oh.
I fucking hated being alive back then.
Where was everybody when they were 22? I'll tell you, I was a freshman in North Carolina.
so you were a little older than the rest of the student body, the rest of the freshman student body.
Yeah, I was, because the world was trying to hold me back over and over and over again.
What did you do for first years after high school?
Shut up, bitch. That's not why. That's not why. I was already old for my grade.
You're making music videos.
And they held me back because I was stupid. Then, whatever, graduated high school, turning 19. Yeah, I stayed in town because I knew that if I was going to go to college, I had to prove that I was going to make a difference in the world. So I made rap videos.
Okay? So wait, Jack, for like, so there was like at least a 2-year period where you were just like living at home, just making music videos. Like, were you just doing like a lot of like?
No, I wasn't. What was I doing? What, a lot of drugs?
Were you just doing like
it?
Nothing? Yeah. like absolutely nothing. And then like every so often you would like shoot a busted like music video for some busted musician in DC,
and then at nights doing comedy, sports, improv.
Why are you guys saying it with a tone as if that's not cool, as if that's not sick? Because yeah, that is what I was doing, dude. I was sitting
heavenly,
around
actually.
I was caretaking my dogs for my mother, and what else was I doing? Yeah, that's about it. But guess what else? When I was out there in the real world, dude, making music videos with real people, I got real world experience that made me extremely prepared for when I went to college to blow people out of the water, even though I didn't graduate. Because guess what? That's probably why I didn't graduate, because I was so far ahead of
the
curve.
Right, of course.
It was like job offers freshman year. How could this be so? Literally being a fucking PA on a Hallmark film in the middle of North Carolina. That's not something that a normal student at a normal developmental stage would be able to handle professionally. But I'd already been doing comedy sports with people who were in their 40s, in their 50s, people who'd seen the real world, and I was chilling with them every night, okay? With real people who work for the government, who like to just get a little randy on the weekend. I know
Randy, oh god, man, that's not. That, can we bring that?
Were they
back?
Cheating? Were they cheating, Jack?
Getting Randy?
Were
and
they
cheating?
No, dude. They would go to a bar where you could smoke cigarettes in Virginia because they didn't want to cheat. Yeah, bitch, they were cheating. Everybody cheats. If you're not having an affair cooking right now, at least one.
Get alive.
That's the whole point of getting
get
married.
Get alive.
That's the point of getting married.
Right.
To have a little fun and to spice it up and to make feel that risk again.
Yeah.
That danger.
Damn.
What if I disrespect
Why is
God?
My heart fucking beating so strong right now?
Because you are not, dying, dude.
I know, bro.
Eric, go to my house right now, break in, and get my blood pressure machine and tell me that it's not 160 over 90.
Is that where you're at?
No, I don't. No, I'm not. I'm back down to 70 over 30.
70 over 30.
Can I go back to the word Randy?
Randy.
I feel like that word... I'm going to start saying that word like way too much.
That's kind of your normal mode of operation.
That's Randy.
Randy.
I'm Randy.
You are Randy.
Uh-oh.
You're a Randy.
Randy.
You're a Randy.
Oh, Randy.
Let's get Randy.
You're a Randy
tonight.
Cunt.
Now, what do you say when you get
Randy
on
the
town?
Fellas?
Nate, what's your move if you get Randy on the town?
What's my move if I get Randy out on the town? What does that even
Eric
mean?
Got Randy. Eric got Randy on the town last week. I don't want to bring it up, though.
No.
But what's funny is, Randy means what? Honey?
It means horny, but I feel like it could also pivot into a new era of, like, getting Randy just means getting lit, you know? Getting,
dude, I got Randy.
Oh, you want to get Randy'd out?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to get Randy'd tonight with me?
You want to get
from
Randy?
The back.
Randy'd from the back. That'd be a good basketball name, like Meta World Peace.
I can tell Eric is so, like, is just pushing back like a heart attack right now. And he's...
Well, Eric is like slowly drifting farther off the screen.
I just
trying not to.
I just feel like I'm looking more and more like someone who has a heart attack in life. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that,
I'm even getting
God,
stronger, but
you.
Even if I get more muscle, the more muscle I have, the more squat I become. I just know it's
more
fucking
squat.
Coming for my ass.
It's not, dude. And if I'm there, you don't have anything to worry about because I'm trained for
my
it.
My heart. I'm going to say my heart at some point. It's going to be the fucking end.
You know that happened in my special ed math class. I'm sure you have already
Someone said my heart?
Yeah. my friend who I'll be shouting out very soon, who makes pornographic glass blowing art. You never fake a heart attack in special ed class to just see what happens.
My heart.
What did he do?
He hit the deck. He just screamed, "My heart!" And then he hit the ground. And
yeah, but he didn't have any heart condition.
No, he was just fucking with the teacher, Miss Levine, who had one eye. No, she didn't. She had both, but one of them was looking
different
somewhere
sauce.
Else.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've already talked about my clay teacher who had Alzheimer's.
Clay teacher.
Clay arts. Ceramics.
You took like a private clay class?
You teach mud. Private. You're learning mud,
huh? It was a mud.
You're in mud class.
Yeah, I already talked about this, but she had.
What else?
She realized she had Alzheimer's the year, or she didn't realize, but her family realized the year that I took her class.
Oh, because you made her self-aware.
I did a sort of a clay sculpture of a face that really
right
made her realize what's going on.
That's pretty funny.
What did I make? A face, okay. A panther, and a little clay tablet with a relief of a fall scene on it. Fall trees.
And I made a bookmark one time in elementary school that was so visually concerning that my parents didn't let me enter it into the bookmark competition.
What was it?
Well, it was somebody in space who looked like they were passing away. Okay. And I thought,
did they lose their space helmet, or it was just...
They did, dude. They did. But what I thought that effort is what made a good bookmark. And this is like a big, like a huge, you know what I'm saying? Not a normal size bookmark. It's about probably a foot or so tall. Yeah. And I thought that effort is what was important. And it was in space. So I like scribbled black all over the entire thing and tried to fill it in. So it looked like whatever.
Well, not you know, great. Children are connected to creativity in a way that adults try to get back to that childlike innocence, that childlike quality that makes you burdened by the realities of the adult world, which blocks your creativity. And sometimes that comes out in children's drawings, and sometimes they're disturbing, sometimes they're violent. But
that's Randy.
Yeah.
Well, you know why that is, Nate, right? Clearly,
why
you
is
know
that?
Why. Well, because children are closest to the nebulous. To what happens before and what happens after. They're the closest to what came before, the ether, as I call it.
So you're saying consciousness in the ether, they're like drawing crazy ass shit. Before we were born, we're all just like, just.
My first words as a toddler was, "Can I go back? Let me go back now, please."
And your last words are gonna be, "It's about damn time."
About damn time. No, my last words are my heart for sure.
Yeah,
my heart. Oh,
my last words are gonna be, "What, 200,000 women at once?"
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
That's how I just hacked that
that's
one. That's how I just hacked it.
Ultimate fantasy, 200,000.
All right, that's my micro nation's population worth of. Women.
Death by
a full atoll of women.
Yes, one atoll, please. Okay, let's say what gave us joy, because let's just say I have something to do right now.
This one is a little short, guys. We're sorry, but the quality of this one was just so unreal that we don't want to taint it by having it go long. Right. I have something to be joyful for, and I remember the name of the book I'm reading. The book I'm reading is called Blindsight. It's a first contact novel that defies your expectations. It was written in 2006, and yet it's touching on the future, actually the current reality of AI in ways that you can't imagine.
Holy shit.
Okay, so it's so far I'm really enthralled. But what gave me joy today, I was sitting in Manhattan in my car waiting for Layla, and I look outside and there's a high school field trip. Okay, the chaperones are there. They're the tough guys are wearing just t-shirts. It's too cold for that, but they don't give a fuck. And in the middle of the group, I spy two high school girls locked arms, like arm in arm. And something about me had just felt like, oh, the youth doesn't care anymore about really connecting with each other. And seeing these two girls locked arm in arm, it could have been that, like, they were at a Beatles concert in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? It just felt like, wow, that type of connection is so timeless. And it's so nice, even in the modern age of the internet and cell phones and whatever, that we're still connecting in this way. It was just a very sweet thing to see. And they could have been the mean girls. They could be total biatches. I don't know. But it was awesome seeing this. And so thank God for letting me witness that. Now, and the men need to follow up as well. The men need to start holding hands. What would you do if I started holding your hand, Nate, on a walk?
I would beat the fucking shit out of you, dude. Don't ever do that to me, man. Don't you ever fucking touch me. Touch me, hold my hand, man.
Patriarchy's a prison, Randy. Dude. And you're obviously locked in the dungeon right now. We're going to get you out.
Wow. So what gave the next one of us joy?
I'll go next.
Jack? Okay. Nate, get it.
Well, what gave me joy was obviously I don't know. Did we do an episode for this? But it was the Rap World premiere screen.
Oh, shit.
That was so much fun. We were at the Los Angeles Festival of Movies. Did I say that right? I always like.
We didn't talk about this yet?
No, we've talked about it.
I don't think we did.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome sauce.
Well, it was the global premiere of Rap World, the movie that you guys have been working on with Connor and Danny Scherer and Harris Marison.
Meryl Faye.
And it was just lights out, incredible. People were fucking crap. It was just like so much fun to see people in the theater like go bonanza for something that
bonanza
you know you guys have worked on for so long, and I just can't wait for people to see it, you know?
I'm stoked to have more people to see it. That was such a fun night. Thanks for coming out, everybody who did.
Thank you. That was fun as fuck.
We need to crush the box office with that shit immediately.
And people are probably going wondering to be... when they'll be able
and
to
here's,
see it.
And here's we the truth. Right. We don't know. We don't know yet.
We don't know. There's basically more than $6 million worth of illegal music that we're using in it. And we're in the process of litigating it, figuring out how to legally show anyone and where. Because, it's under an hour. But guess what? That's how features used to be, dude.
I'm back.
Back when features were actually art and not just Eric did your mic go out. So Rap World the movie, possibly coming to a town near you soon, or possibly coming to the internet soon as well. And then what's funny is, I guess I'll say what gave me joy. I'm in Santa Cruz, man, and I dropped my water bottle in a way that kept making me laugh. I was in we went to look at the redwoods. Never seen one of those.
Big.
Oh, really big.
That makes you have a reverence for Mother Nature, doesn't it?
For sure.
That's what I was about to say, reverence.
Thick fucking trees.
Makes
fat
you wonder.
Trees.
One of them testosterone trees.
Sheesh.
So then what happened is I go into the visitor center, and I don't know why, man. But I dropped my water bottle, and damn if that wasn't very fucking loud. Scared everybody in the visitor's center. And that made me laugh. And then guess what?
What?
I did it two more times on accident. And by the time I walked out, I dropped it again one last time in front of the person who was working there. And I share a funny, beautiful interaction with this man, I say. I'm so sorry that I kept dropping that water bottle, man, but damn if it didn't give me joy on my podcast in 3 days.
Wow.
That's a secret that you can tell to everybody.
Well, it's been so good reconnecting with you guys. Great speaking with you guys again. And I hope that we can get back together for an episode that will come out on our Patreon on Thursday. You guys think we can make that happen?
Eric, you did so good. We had a great time with you this episode. I really think we'll be getting in touch with you to probably follow up. But this was such a good time, and you're amazing.
Yeah,
you're
total
amazing
blast.
Guy.
No, you guys made it so easy, and I appreciate that. I'm going through it right now.
Yeah, just keep going.
Well, pray for my blood pressure, my heart. Pray for Nate recovering
general,
from what could
I just
be
need
the big
prayer. General prayer.
Yeah.
Just,
Nothing even though specific. We're atheists. Why don't you do the human-based prayer, where it's basically telepathy? Because
just did it.
We are Ricky Gervais atheists.
Ricky Gervais. All right, guys. Well, peace out and much love and God bless everyone.
Joy Bye tactics.
Now. Tactics. Peace.
Well, that concludes another incredible fucking episode of Joy Tactics. Head over to patreon.com/joytactics to unlock exclusive weekly bonus episodes. And make sure to follow us on social media where we post fire TikToks and hilarious shit like that. And if you loved the shit you just listened to, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening and remember, we are shaped by our thoughts, we become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves.